بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 16th of October in the year 2014 alhamdulillah I mentioned a few reports last night in which the great Abu Darda radiyallahu was breaking down why you should be selfish in giving in terms of getting the rewards yourself. And he beautifully broke it down, showing the psychology of giving sadaqah is actually selfishness, but it's a noble selfishness. But the great Ibn Mas'ud, he warned about something else, radiyallahu. In Abu Na'im al-Hilya, Hayata Sahaba, volume 2, page 357 of the New English Translation, he said, radiyallahu, family ties will be severed to the extent that the rich will only fear poverty, and the poor thus will have none to show compassion towards him. In fact, even if a person had to place his need before his own brother or cousin, none would show a bit of sympathy to give him a single thing. So let's look at this. So compare. The believer should be generous. Allah Ta'ala is generous and He loves the generous. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in Ibn Asakir. But a sign of Qiyamah is, it'll be the opposite. So Ibn Mas'ud, he didn't relate this back to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But this was his trait. He very rarely related back to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In fact, once when he did, he almost fainted, recorded in Ibn Majah. So he said, family ties will be cut. Why? Because of money, because of wealth. Imagine. You think that there'll be a stronger family unit now because of the abundance of wealth. It'll have the opposite effect. To the extent, and are we experiencing this, the rich will only fear poverty. Think about that. Like I mentioned yesterday, how do I make more? How do I make more? That's his only concern. How do I make more wealth? And the poor, because of that psychology, they will suffer because nobody will be showing compassion to them. Even if a person, he said, had to place his need before his own brother, imagine, your own flesh and blood, your own full brother, he places his need before him or his cousin, he still would not be shown sympathy. Why? And you see this. He goes, no, they're deceiving us. They're ripping us off. They're well off, etc., etc. So what's happening? This is the sign of Qiyamah, Ibn Mas'ud said. And isn't that true? That instead of giving, we're tightening the purse strings. One of the Salaf, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, you should be generous with your wealth, but you should be miserly with your tongue. But, he goes, how sad that the opposite is often the case. Person's very generous with his words, but when it comes to his purse string, very tight. Astaghfirullah. The following is thus a most frightening and informative report. In Tabarani, Ibn Asakir, Kanz al-Umal, volume 3, page 320, Tarhib al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawa'id, volume 10, page 314, states Sahih, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 348-9 of the New English Translation. Qa'ab ibn Ujra, radiyallahu, he relates, I once went to the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I had found that his face had become extremely pale. He was ill, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I thereupon asked in great concern, may my parents be sacrificed for you. What is the matter that I see your face so pale, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He replied, nothing can enter or has entered the belly of any living creature has entered my belly for 3 days. Because I've not had a single morsel to eat for 3 days. So now think about this. During that time, was he still never saying no? He was still giving. He was preferring others over himself. So for 3 days, he had not eaten a single morsel. And he only mentioned that when somebody asked him. He didn't say that to anybody. When Ka'ab asked him, you look pale. He gave the reason. So Ka'ab, radiyallahu, he goes, I thereupon immediately left. And I found a Jewish man watering his camel. I watered the camel for the month with the understanding that I would earn a date for every book it drawn. When I collected several dates, I took them back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who inquired, how did you obtain them, O Ka'ab radiyallahu. After I clarified, the Prophet looked at me sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, do you love me, O Ka'ab? Do you love me, O Ka'ab radiyallahu? I responded, may my father be sacrificed for you. Of course I do, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He thereupon said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, poverty runs to a person who truly loves me faster than water returning to its sources. In addition, tribulations will certainly come your way. So prepare a shield of patience and abstinence for it. So stop with the report. So when Ka'ab brought those dates, obviously it was out of concern and love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet asked him, do you love me, O Ka'ab? So he immediately said, of course, because Ya Rasulullah, may my father be sacrificed for you. Then the Prophet said something amazing. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, whoever truly loves me, so the shades, we all say we love the Prophet, we have to. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But of course, we can't say our love is like Abu Bakr's love, radiyallahu. We have shades. So the way to understand this report is at a certain level. If your love gets to that level, i.e. it's very intense for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, something starts happening. What happens? Poverty runs through that person faster than water returning to its sources. What does that mean? The scholars interpret it two ways. One is Allah Ta'ala keeps away wealth from him. He keeps away wealth. But this understanding has weakness because some of the great companions had immense wealth. Radiallahu. So other ulama, rahimuhumullah, they've stated what it means is they are given, whatever condition they're in, it looks like they're very poor because of their extreme generosity. So look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You would think he was poor. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But was he poor? He was very wealthy. But he was concerned about others. So for 3 days he had nothing to eat. So this is probably a more preferable explanation. Poverty runs to a person who loves me faster than water returning to its sources. And there's other meanings the scholars have given. But then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam added, in addition, tribulations will certainly come your way. Prepare a shield. The more you love me, the more you are tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith continues. Some time passed, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not see Ka'ab ibn Ujra. And thus he asked about him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they informed him, he goes, Ya Rasulullah, he's fallen ill. He then walked to his dwelling. Look how beautiful this was. Now it's the opposite. The Prophet is going to see him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the dwelling, he said, glad tidings, O Ka'ab. Good news, O Ka'ab radiyallahu. So Ka'ab, despite Ka'ab's mother, when she saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, glad tidings of paradise, O Ka'ab. The Prophet is giving you glad tidings. So the mother heard the Prophet's statement, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She turned to her son, he goes, glad tidings of paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interjected. He goes, who is this lady who swears in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In other words, did I say that? So Ka'ab, though he was ill, he goes, Ya Rasulullah, forgive her, she's my mother. In other words, she wants goodness for me. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon said, how can you be so sure I of paradise? O Ka'ab radiyallahu anhu. Perhaps your son, Ka'ab, said something useless and refused to give to a needy person something that he did not need. The narration finishes here. So let's look at this. So his mother said, glad tidings of paradise. The Prophet said, simply, I didn't say that. And then the son said, Ya Rasulullah, she's my mother, she wants goodness for me. And then look how interesting. He turns to the mother. He doesn't say it to Kaab. This is the manner, is immense mannerisms. He turned to the mother and he said, perhaps Kaab, and look how interesting, it's like he's not there. Perhaps Kaab has done one of two things, and that will prevent him from entering paradise. What are the two things? Imagine it. He said something useless. Some words came out of his mouth that he thought were nothing. But that has now is gonna prevent him from entering paradise. So what was the Prophet warning you about? Control your tongue. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And number two, to the matter at hand. Perhaps he refused to give something that he did not need. Perhaps he refused to give to a needy person something he did not need. In other words, he turned away a person and he could have easily given him something. He goes, that can also prevent a person from entering paradise. So what does this mean? Does that mean that you always have to give? So of course it doesn't mean that. Because zakat is further than other things mentioned, the ulama have mentioned. What it means is that Allah Ta'ala does not like that trait in his servant. When he has the means to give and he doesn't. He doesn't like that trait. It displeases him. But you are not sinful, because it's not an obligation. Because of Sayyidina Ka'ab's status, the Prophet got this across to him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So for instance, he wouldn't allow Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bilal to save anything. He once went to the dwelling and he goes, what's this, Bilal? And there's a few dates. And he goes, this is for tomorrow, Ya Rasulullah, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't you fear the fire, O Bilal? So what was the Prophet telling Bilal? You can't save. Does that mean we can't save? No, because he's talking to Bilal, he's not talking to you. So here, Ka'ab has been addressed. So don't panic, right? However, think about that. Which person has that quality? That he always gives something. He has to give something. You know, somebody's asked, I've got to give something, whether it's a large amount or a small amount. For Ka'ab, he had to give. Radiallahu. So these two things, the control of the tongue, and to be generous in giving, therefore is most beloved to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the great Ka'ab ibn Ujra was the great Sahaba who verses of the Quran were revealed for. Remember when the Prophet was doing Umrah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Ka'ab, he had lice. And he was proper causing, he couldn't, obviously during the Umrah or during the Hajj, there's only certain times you can shave. He had to wait, but it was causing him great pain. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, are you being troubled, O Ka'ab? Are you by the lice? And he said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then what happened? Allah Ta'ala revealed the verse, telling them what to do if they have to shave their hair. So this shows his status, that Allah Ta'ala has revealed the passage of the Quran for him, Ka'ab ibn Ujra, radiyallahu. So again, it should have a little connection with the great companions of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the only thing I want to mention is about giving loans. Just a very few things to mention. First of all, it is an immense deed. How do we know? In Ibn Majah, Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states, Hassan in Irwa ul-Ghalil, number 1389, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, any Muslim who lends to another Muslim will have a reward twice of sadaqah. So there's a few conditions here. One is, you have to be a Muslim. That's obvious, right? You can't be a philanthropist, right? You have to be a Muslim. Second condition, you give to another Muslim. Don't say non-Muslim. So you give money to another Muslim. You will have a reward twice of sadaqah. Twice. Now why is that strange? Because it doesn't make sense logically. If I give £100, let's say to Brother Qasim, as I give him that as a loan, I'm going to get it back. Hopefully. So, why have I got the reward of £200 sadaqah? So, think about it. I've given £100 to Brother Qasim, and what am I getting back? I'm getting the reward of £200 sadaqah, and I'm getting my £100 back. Which means, if you want to have profit, without really giving anything, give loans. Think about that. How do you make money without giving money? Loans. A Muslim giving to a Muslim. So now obviously we're not fools. There's certain people, we know that they're devious and this, that and the other. So obviously you take your precautions. But if a person that you trust asks you, it's a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you can help. It's like Allah Ta'ala saying, I want to give you the reward of sadaqah without you giving any money. Would you like to do the business? And we start thinking about it. Imagine it. What are you thinking about? Double. And this is an authentic report. But there's a few conditions. If you give money to a Muslim brother, you must then protect yourself from getting any benefit from him. Unless that is what he used to do normally. So for instance, you might be working in the same workplace, and that brother would always give you a lift, always. Now you've lent him some money. So you think, oof, I can't take the lift now because I can't take any benefit from it. That's not correct, because you did that anyway. But if he pulls up and he goes, would you like a lift? And that's not the normal pattern, you say, may Allah bless you. Why? Because in Dar al-Qutni, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, any loan that leads to a profit is usury. Any loan that leads to a profit, i.e. or benefit, is riba. Imagine. Right? So now, what was the levels the great imams took this to? Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he gave some money to a Muslim brother. Then what happened? He was traveling with his students, and he said to him, sit under the tree, the shade of the tree. It was midday. So they sat under the shade of the tree, but they thought, where's the imam going to sit? And they then thought, oh, he'll sit under the shadow of the wall of the dwelling, because there was a dwelling there. He just sat in the sun. So they thought, imam, sheikh, please sit here. He goes, why don't you sit in the shadow? And he goes, no, I can't. And they asked him why. He said, any loan that leads to a profit is usury, because that is the dwelling of the person I've given money to. If I sit under the shadow of the shade of his wall, that's riba. Look at the state of the imam, rahmatullah. Would you consider that riba? That's not, you think, well, that's the wall and the shadow of the sun, what's it going to do with the bloke? It doesn't matter, he considered that riba, the great imam. Another example of his immense taqwa, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he loved goat's shoulder. Why? Because the Prophet loved that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he stopped eating it. He just stopped eating goat. So the people knew him, his family knew him. They thought, why has he stopped eating goat's meat? It's sunnah. So they thought, oh, maybe it's a diet. So some days pass, weeks pass, months, he's not having goat. So somebody plucked his courage up. He goes, honorable imam, because we've noticed something, please don't get offended if we ask, but you stop eating goat's meat. Why is that? So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, he said, he goes, I've heard that in this city, a goat was stolen. So I am now worried that if I eat any meat of a goat, it's that stolen goat. So that shocked the person who asked the question. But then he asked him, he goes, well, how long are you're not going to eat? Are you forbidden goat's meat for? He goes, no, I will eat it again. But there's a few years that has to pass. Now, why did he say that? Because he went to the butcher. He goes, what's the lifespan of a goat? And he told him, a certain number of years. And for those number of years, he didn't eat goat meat. So let me ask you a question. What the heck is going on? What's the state of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah? So why is that important to point out? Because these were very God-fearing people. When you say God-fearing, that's not even doing justice to it. You say, well, everybody's got taqwa to a certain degree, but this is something else. Think about that, innit? Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayh, this woman came, and she said, Honorable Imam, because there was a fire burning, and it was a huge fire. He goes, can I use the light of that fire to do my needlework? So Imam Ahmad goes, no, you can't. Same night another woman came, Honorable Imam, can I use the light to do something else from the fire? He goes, yes, you can. So his students thought, he just said yes and no. So they asked him, he goes, Honorable Imam, because you give two different answers. He goes, who was the first woman? The first woman was the sister of Bishr al-Hafi. And he goes, she has to live like that because she's the sister of the saintly soul Bishr. He goes, the other woman, she's a Muslimah. So what he was doing was, he was looking at the person's taqwa. And he said, this woman is so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have to give her the strict verdict. Because you can't use it. Why? Because he considered that, because it's unlawful use of somebody's property. Think about that. The light from a fire is unlawful use for you. So you told that woman, you can't use it. The other woman, he goes, yeah, you can use it, it's alright. SubhanAllah. But this is the status of these people. Now why is that important to point out? Because it shows how much they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now think about it. Do you honestly believe that these people would put anything unlawful into their mouths? This is talking about the external. Imagine it. Once they got, you know, if they had that much fear on the outside, what fear have they got of putting something into their mouth? Right? And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that one of the signs of Qiyamah coming near is that the Muslim will not be concerned about the haram and the halal. He'll have no concern whatsoever. And we have seen this. No concern whatsoever. As if it's not important. I'm praying my salat, I'm doing my five pillars. That's not important. Then you look at the examples, you're thinking, I think you better go and look at the examples, mate. Right? And this is another interesting thing. Just to mention this briefly. This man came to a saint and he asked him, he goes, I want to give some sadaqah, ya Sheikh. This is in Mazair Ihaq, a commentary of Mishkat. So the saint goes, only the lawful reaches the lawful. So the person's, you know, there with his wealth. He goes, Sheikh, I want to give some wealth to the poor. You're telling me the lawful reaches the lawful. He goes, okay then, go and give it. He goes, give it to the one that you think is needy. So he takes the wealth and he sees a blind person. He gives the wealth to him. He goes, Sheikh, take the money. He takes the money. Jazakallah khair. Then what happens? The next day, finds out the blind man is a con artist. He goes, some fool gave me some money. So the man goes back to the Sheikh. He goes, Sheikh, I don't understand. He goes, I had proper intention in my heart. So the Sheikh goes, then he gives something from his own pocket. He goes, now go, whoever you think is deserving of this, give it. So he's got the Sheikh's wealth now. He takes the wealth. He's looking down and he sees a person. He looks, you know, doesn't look poor. But he looks like he's looking for something. So he thinks, what's up with this person? You know, he looks a bit dodgy. So he's observing, you know, he follows him. Then what happens? He sees the man, he walks, and he sees a dead pigeon. He picks up the dead pigeon. So the man who's been given that dirham from the Sheikh, he goes to that man, he goes, what are you doing? He goes, why, what's it going to do with you? He goes, no, I'm just, why you picked a dead pigeon up for? He goes, since you've asked. He goes, my family is destitute. And they haven't eaten for a certain number of days. And I'm forced to get even dead meat. He gives that dirham. He goes, take this with the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he goes back to the Sheikh. He goes, Sheikh, I don't understand. Why did my wealth go to a con artist and your wealth went to a deserving person? He goes, I told you, lawful reaches the lawful. Meaning, your wealth will be squandered if it's impure. Allah Ta'ala will not even give it to those who are worthy for it. Wasting your time. Think about that, innit? So you won the lottery. Yeah, won the lottery. I'm going to give millions. You find out some fat cats took your money. You know, you thought, oh, you're going to, well, this lawful reaches the lawful. You can do what you want, it will not get to them. That's how Allah Ta'ala works. Think about that. Now people think, I've given millions. Have you? Have you given millions? Then you ask him, is it pure? And the person goes, does it matter, bro? It still fed some hungry person in Africa. He says, has it? Then you check it. And then you get other people, don't they? They go, no, but if I give it direct to the poor, they eat in my presence. It's gone to a deserving person, yeah? He might have diarrhea and died from what you gave him. Check him out. Right? So this is another thing that people don't reflect upon when they're giving. You know, they give, I've given. You should think, is the money I've got pure? For instance, in the past, this is what people would do. They'd have two accounts. Well, people, I don't mean in bank. They had one that they would live their lives with, and they'd have a special, like, you know, like a piggy bank. Not piggy bank, stuff like that. You know, like something that they would keep money somewhere for a rainy day. What were they keeping that money to the side for? That was for Hajj. Why? Because they said, this is the purest wealth we've got, and we only want to go with the purest wealth. Now, what does that teach you? That teaches you that Muslims gonna sleep, like living in cloud cuckoo land. Right? Money's all over the place, messed up with the haram. And I'm giving. MashaAllah, well done, lad. Right? You should stay away and think, I'm gonna give what's pure. So, for instance, Sheikh Siraj Wahaj, he mentions an incident, paraphrasing. He said that there was a gangster. I don't know who he was, right? You know, one paraphrasing. And he goes, he became, you know, obviously, alhamdulillah, he embraced Islam. But he's got all that money, you know, that useless money that he's got from drugs. Because he asked me, he goes, what can I do with it? Classic statement, what can I do with it? He goes, just get rid of it. And then one of the people ask, will I get rewarded for it? Imagine any, that shows that the guy's completely oblivious to everything. No, you won't. He won't even reach as, you know, person probably deserve. But maybe your tawbah will make it somehow get to them. So what happened? He said to Sheikh Siraj Wahaj, he goes, Sheikh, you're not going to believe this. But even when I was not a Muslim, I kept two accounts. So Sheikh Siraj, what do you mean, two accounts? He goes, one was my dodgy dealings, and the other was pure. And then he asked him, he goes, how was the, well, I don't get it, what was the pure wealth? He goes, this is what I'd get sometimes, you know, from my parents. One of my parents passed away, he goes, I got something, and I've kept that to the side. He goes, something was telling me. He goes, don't mix the two up. And then Sheikh Siraj Wahaj goes, that's your fitrah. He goes, congratulations. He goes, that wealth you can use. He goes, you want to do anything, go with this. Go on Hajj. And what amazed me was, that wasn't even a Muslim. Imagine it. Wasn't even a Muslim. We're eating the haram. Imagine it. We're eating the haram. What do you expect to happen now? Right? I'm not getting any taste in my salat. I'm not getting any taste in my Quran. I'm all over the place. Well, guess what? Maybe something you've ate has affected you. Then he goes, no, brother, I know I got HMC. HMC, mashallah, HMC. But what did you give the money? What money did you give for the HMC? If the money is not lawful, what's it going to have? What's the impact it's going to have on you? Let alone reaching others. And that's why when you go into the company of those who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you start eating even the most bland thing, and you think, what is this? You sit with them, they offer you some lentils, and you go, oh, lentils, what's these lentils? And then you eat it, you eat and you think, I've never tasted anything like this. And then after you've ate, you think, you get this kind of a charge, you know, I'm going to pray tajid, right? You know, I'm going to read Quran. What's happening? For the first time in probably in your life, you've had some pure food. First time in your life. Right? Sheikh Nuh, Hamim Kala, he goes, once myself and my wife were invited by somebody. And he goes, we ate the food, and then he goes, for so many days, we found it difficult to worship. He didn't say the food was haram, but he goes, something happened. He goes, we found it difficult. What did Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu say to his son, Hassan ibn Ali radiallahu anhu, can't remember the reference, right? He said to his son, he goes, the problem with worship is that you get bored. So you look at that statement, you're thinking, mashallah, has Ali telling his son? So was it a simple statement? So the person starts thinking, you get bored of worship. Doesn't mean that. It means protect your worship. If you start groaning and yawning, something has affected your worship. Think about that, isn't it? Something has affected it. And that's why you need to go to the people of insight. those who know the matters of the heart, right? People don't like admitting that there's something wrong with them. Imagine, isn't it? Right? Even the farad becomes difficult, let alone the, you know, subhanAllah. But let me just finish this. So any loan that leads to a profit is usury. This is what the Prophet said. One last report. In Bayhaqi, Shaykh al-Mani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in Irwa ul-Ghalil, number 1397. Salim ibn Abi Ja'ad rahmatullah alayhi, he said, our neighbor was a fishmonger. So his neighbor, the narrator, he goes, my neighbor was a fishmonger. And he, the fishmonger, owed 50 dirhams to another man, to whom he used to give some fish as a gift. So if you got that. So this fishmonger has given 50 dirhams to another man. The one who owns the fish has given 50 dirhams as a loan to another Muslim brother. But he, the fishmonger, would give fish as a gift to that man. Later the man asked Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu about receiving a gift from a person who owes him money. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu said, pay him for what he has given you. Just do not take any gift from him. Meaning what? Because you used to give the fish, that's fine. But if he gives you anything now, I fear that might be usury. Therefore, give him the amount back, what he's given you. Think about that. Now, look at these commands, be honest, aren't they strange? You know, think about it. You look at it, you're thinking, oh, brother, that's next level. This is just basic level. What do you mean next level? Right? Somebody goes, that's next level, brother. What level are you at? You're on the bottom of the ladder. He goes, that's, your foot's not even on the ladder, mate. Right? What do you mean next level? Right? So that's one thing you have to be very concerned about. When you give wealth to anybody as a loan, alhamdulillah, it's a great thing. But always ask, this thing that he's given me, would he have given me this if I hadn't given him a loan? If you say yes, take it. But if you in doubt, say, may Allah bless you. Right? And this is what why? Because Allah Ta'ala wants the believer to be pure. He doesn't want him to do deeds which are tainted with impurity. Think about that. And just to conclude, giving loans is immense. Taking loans is frowned upon. This is the beauty of our deen. Giving loans is immense. Because the reports, in fact, the Sahaba would take money so they could give loans. There was a companion called Jabir, our beloved mother Aisha, and other companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, they would take loans to give loans. Imagine that one, isn't it? We got a loan, what do you get a loan from our brother for? So I give a loan. Imagine this, you think the guy's lost, he's blown a fuse. You took a loan so you can give a loan. And what did Jabir say? He goes, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever gives a loan for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala is with him. Allah ta'ala is with that person. He's protecting that person, looking after him. Don't you want to be protected? Imagine when he goes to you, you've got all these alarms and insurance policy, this, that. Have you got Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do you get Allah Ta'ala to pray? Give a loan to a Muslim brother. Doesn't have to be a great amount. Allah Ta'ala will look after you. But now this is the thing. If you take, it's frowned upon. Why? Because then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this could lead to other sins. A person starts lying, for example. You start saying, oh brother, oh, I haven't got the money now. You know, if you come back some other time. Like, it had a ripple effect. Etc., etc. So you shouldn't take out unless you need to. The other thing which is very important to point out is, if you intend to pay the loan back and you die, there's two hukums. One hukum is the loan has to be paid back from your testament, from your will. It has to be paid back before even inheritance. Imagine, even before the money goes to your sons, your daughters, the money has to be, your debts need to be paid off. The Prophet mentioned this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But let's say you die and something happens, the money just simply can't go to that person. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah Ta'ala will pay off your debt on the day of judgment because you had full intention. But if you had no intention of paying off the debt, what happens? you've basically blown it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam refused to do a funeral prayer for the one who hadn't made arrangements to pay his debt. Imagine, somebody goes to you, Rasulullah has refused to do janazah for the person. What does that mean? But then he said, you'll do janazah for him. In other words, he's not out of Islam, but Allah Ta'ala is furious with him. Then, another hadith just to finish in Tabarani. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, this person who's passed away, he owes 2 dirhams, and he hasn't left any means to pay it off. You offer the funeral prayer for him. So Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu said, I will pay it off, Ya Rasulullah. I will pay it off. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, will you pay it off? He goes, yes. So what happened? The janazah was done. But then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Abu Qatada, haven't you paid it off yet? And Abu Qatada goes, I'm going to pay it off. He goes, his skin is still feeling the heat. As soon as he gave the dirhams, the Prophet goes, now he's at peace. Think about that. So the Prophet offered the janazah, but because the money has not got to the respected source, he's still in trouble. Imagine, even after the messenger of Allah's janazah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another report in Nasa'i, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. And he kept walking in and out of the masjid or his dwelling. So the Sahaba got worried. He goes, Ya Rasulullah, what's happened? He goes, what a warning has been sent down. What a warning has been sent down. What a warning has been sent down. She goes, what's the warning, Ya Rasulullah? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if a person who owes money and does not make arrangements to pay it off dies as a martyr, comes back to life, dies as a martyr again, comes back to life, dies as a martyr again, comes back to life, he is still doomed. Think about that. He's died once in the battlefield. He can't come back to life, but you know, like, he's come back, something's happened. He dies again. He comes back somehow. Third time, he's still doomed. Imagine it, martyred 3 times. What if a person dies, he's not even going on the battlefield? What's going to happen to him? Therefore, giving loans is immense. Do not take them unless you have to, because there's some serious problems that could occur from this. So again, this is important to point out with regards to the matter. So all I discussed today was basically wrapping up the section with regards to sadaqah. I mentioned the report about the Qiyamah sign, in which people are now even shunning their family, not giving to their family, imagine, because of the miserliness in their hearts and the warped things that shaitan puts into their mind. And then I mentioned the frightening report of Ka'ab ibn Ujra, radiallahu, both with explanation. And then I mentioned a few things about loans. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون السلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات ونواصي بالحق ونواصي بالصبر صدق الله العظيم